Tune it in, check it out, listen up, find out what it is all about. Baby, get ready for my...
Hello, this is Matthew Bronson, and this is Conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9. on the FM dial, and today we are speaking with a couple of nice people from PlacetasSage.org, which is a new community in development. So we have Joyce Thompson and Andrea Mason. So welcome to Conversations with Matthew Bronson.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
All right. Why don't we just start off with what is PlacetasSage?
PlacetasSage is a co-housing community. Co-housing is a way of people living back in the neighborhoods which many of us lived in when we were growing up 50, 60 years ago, where people meet each other on community paths, get to know each other, and provide neighborhood support to each other. We are a senior co-housing community, which means that we have members from age 55 up, and we call ourselves proactive seniors. We are healthy, planning how we are going to age in place and live, hopefully, for the rest of our lives in this community, supporting each other, helping each other out.
So as an adult, how would I make the decision to consider either the PlacetasSage or, with the internet now, this could be heard all over the world. So if they're in a different part of the world, they look for this type of community. But what is the checklist? They go, okay, this is right, this is right, this is right. This may not be right.
Well, I think that for many people, they're looking for a way to reconnect with maybe people their own age or interesting other adults that have a variety of interests. And so this is a way to... So basically, I think people need to think about, do I want to know my neighbors? Am I feeling like I don't have community and that's missing in my life? Do I want to live in a community where I get to make the decisions and the rules along with my neighbors? And really get to know my neighbors and spend time together and support each other as we get older.
This is an existing philosophy.
Yes.
And is there a grandfather or grandmother of co-housing?
Yes. Katie McCammond and Chuck Durrett were architecture students in Denmark in the late 70s, and they brought this, they saw this developing in Denmark and thought, what a wonderful idea. And they brought the idea to the United States in the 80s, so it has a history here. Katie and Chuck have written a number of books on co-housing, and they have developed, they and others who thought this was a wonderful idea have developed now 120 co-housing communities across the United States. And there are several also in England, in Australia, in Japan. So the idea is spreading as people are beginning to think that it's instead of the move from the 50s into suburban, somewhat isolated, larger homes, there's a movement now to want to come back into community and know your neighbors instead of being isolated from your neighbors. So Katie and Chuck have written, as I said, a number of books on co-housing. The one that is our handbook is called The Senior Co-Housing Handbook, written by Chuck Durrett. And it talks about the philosophy of co-housing as well as how it's developed and the stages in development. The people who join the community are the developers, and are in many of the communities are self-developed. Ours is. Some of the co-housing communities, after they get started, they get a group together wanting to create this. They find a developer builder to work with them Ours is, we're still doing our self-development ourselves.
And this particular development, Placida Sage, how many residents will be there when you're at capacity?
Well, we plan on 18 units. There will be, there's 800 square foot units, 1,000 and 1,200 square foot. So 18 altogether, 18 households. And some of the households obviously will have two people in them and some will have one. So we're figuring that in the end we'll probably have about 24 to 30 people altogether.
And this is a 3-2 or a 2-1 or different options? Sorry, you know, bedrooms and bathrooms?
The largest units have two bedrooms. The next largest has a bedroom and a den, and the 800 square foot has one bedroom.
And these are spread out on 6 acres of land here in Placidas, in the Placidas West neighborhood. So they are, and there are triplexes, one story, one floor, all accessible homes, fully independent homes. They all have their own kitchens and bathrooms, and actually the the largest unit has two bathrooms. And then the common house, which is a larger space where people can gather to share meals, to have meetings, to share activities, to watch movies together, so forth, that also has a meeting space, a larger kitchen for preparing meals for a larger group of people, and two guest rooms, so that if people come to visit and there's not room in your little home for guests, you can have them stay in one of the guest rooms. And then because we have artists in our community, and Placidas is full of artists, we have a studio, a 1,000-foot studio just adjacent to the common house, where there will be space for people and facilities for people to do their artwork.
Right. And I know you're just starting. Have you thought about, you know, you sell out real quick, quickly, and any thoughts of a second plot of land that you might have Placida Sage 2?
No. This is actually the third site that we have looked at in Placidas. We've had issues with water problems on the first two sites, not an adequate water supply. We are planning a very green, very sustainable community, and one of the sites that we found, we realized that with a low water supply in that area, that our wells might be draining wells in the community, so we decided we could not stay there. So we found an area where there is a good water supply. But we do have some younger people who have talked to us about this idea and think it's a great one and would like to start an intergenerational community. So they're looking to us to create the model, because it's the first of this kind in Sandoval County. There are three co-housing communities in Santa Fe, two intergenerational and one senior community. And there's also a senior community in Taos that's in the process of building now.
Right. Any restrictions? Well, obviously, you have to be over 55. Pets or things like that?
We are a very pet-friendly community. In fact, just about everyone who's a member right now has one kind of pet or another. Dogs will have to be leashed, obviously, but we are encouraging people to have animals.
Super. Well, yeah, that's part of the whole community environment.
Exactly, yeah.
A doggy park?
We're thinking about that. We haven't planned in one at this point, but we've talked to the architect and the builder about it, and we probably will put something like that in. We're also, I just want to say, as someone who is new to New Mexico, I haven't moved here yet, that the views that we have in Placida Sage on the land that we're in are spectacular, essentially almost 365 degrees views of the Sandias, and the buildings are going to take that into account. but we're also across the street from Forest Park land. What is
Forest Service? Forest Service land. So there is nothing on the south side of the property, which is the long axis of the property. There's nothing that can be built because it's Forest Service land. So you look straight out. The common house and the units are looking toward the mountains.
And it's a great place to walk a dog.
Super.
Yeah.
We also have an arroyo in the midst of our 6 acres, and that'll be a good place for a dog run.
Sure. And it always adds a very nice architectural part of the vista.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's a senior community, and it's still, you know, as I am in the middle of my aging process, to think that 55 is senior, that seems awfully young these days. But, you know, you're going to stay in place, which I guess means you're there to the end. Are the homes ADA wheelchair friendly?
Totally.
That's
everything. Yes, our architects know all of the specs for having the access for in the bathroom and in the kitchen and all of those things, so that they can be wheelchair accessible if need be. Our paths through the community will be such that we can have golf carts or wheelchairs if need be, any of those kinds of things. But at this point, as we said, we're proactive seniors. We are not assisted living. We will not be providing that, although certainly people as they age, if they need assistance, can have people come in to the community, to their home, to help care for them just as they would at a home. And if at the end there's a need for hospice care, that can be easily done as well.
And I think it's important to point out, and this is Conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR FM 99.9 on the FM dial, and today we're talking with Joyce Thompson and Andrea Mason from Placita Sage Community, and you can find out all you need at placitasage.org. If you think community living is for you, let's talk about, you know, everything comes down to money. Is there a general price range?
There is. Basically, at this point, which is still an estimate, we're looking at the homes being between $200,000 and $350,000. And of course, that includes not only the home, your own unit, but also 1/18 of the common area, and the common house, the common land.
But my unit, I'm platted. I mean, I own the home.
Yes.
And I will get my own ad valorem real estate tax.
I believe not.
Okay.
I believe that the homeowners association will handle the real estate taxes for the community as a whole. And as I said, that's what I believe will happen at this point.
But you're still working the findings.
We're still working out, yes. We've met several times with the people in the planning and zoning department. The latest word that was used was fabulous. This is a fabulous plan. Placitas needs something like this. It fits in very well with the long-term planning of the planning and zoning department and the Placitas area plan. So they're very excited about our doing this.
Certainly.
Very encouraging.
And the county is so excited, they're giving you extra money to help with this?
We wish. We wish, but I'm afraid that's not the case.
We've spoken about all the physical and the financial. Let's talk about the emotional and intellectual part of, since it's been around for a while, there's several existing communities. Is there any data on the effect on seniors living in this type of community versus on their own?
Many studies have shown in the last probably 20 years that seniors do much better living, being connected to people, no matter where they're living, whether they're living in the city or in a rural environment or whatever. Having connections to other people helps them to maintain their lives, their independence, and their quality of life. So we're very aware of that in this process of developing this.
Right. And Andrea, you currently do not reside in New Mexico. You're up in the winter wonderland of Taxachusetts. How did you find out about Placida Sage, and how do you expect your life to change for the better by doing this?
Well, I am still currently working. I'm 62, and I began to think about what I wanted to do in retirement and where I wanted to live. And after 40 years of living in Massachusetts, I actually think of it as Snowchusetts at this point, I had just decided that that aging in Massachusetts was going to be difficult. So I have been to New Mexico a number of times over the last 30 years and always had a very special place in my heart. So during the winter, I came out with the thought that I would start looking in Albuquerque to buy a home. And just as I was leaving, I thought, I wonder if there's any co-housing groups in the area, because I have friends in Massachusetts who live in co-housing and love it. And I've always been interested in it. In fact, I like to say that my friends and I invented it, because a number of years ago we talked about doing something very much like this, but we didn't know it was called co-housing.
Right.
So I emailed and I looked online. I found Placida Sage. I emailed, and Joyce was on the other end of the email. She was incredibly welcoming. I heard from several other people who were all very welcoming. And when I came out, I came up to Placidas and my breath was taken away and my heart was stolen, because this is an incredible group of kind, loving people, all very bright. Most of us are introverts. And, you know, when you get a group of introverts together, you can't shut us up. So, and I have been back twice since. This is my third trip back. And during the summer, I was here and became a member, paid in my money and became a member. And I feel very connected. My heart is here now.
And the membership that you referenced, that's a one-time charge?
Yes. And it goes to paying into, it's also a way of paying into your house. So it will be counted towards the money that you're going to spend on your home. So
it's almost like a down payment in a way.
Right? It's earnest money, maybe you could call it. Yeah.
And Andrea or Joyce, do we have a best guess of when the first unit will be ready for occupancy?
The best guess at this point is probably sometime in 2017. Over the weekend with our architect, he suggested the possibility that we could break ground next summer, the summer of 2016. So somewhere between, probably the construction will be completed and all 18 units will be being built at roughly the same time, and the common house.
And so what tasks must be accomplished before you can break ground?
We're just getting ready to, we completed the site design and the input from the community members to the architects on the unit designs this weekend. And so in the next couple of weeks, they will be drawing up the final plans for that. And then submitting them to the county for approval. We also will be having a couple of public hearings and talking to neighbors and other people in Placidas about our community to hopefully encourage them to provide support. We had a picnic last summer on the site, and a lot of neighbors came, and we had some good responses from that about thinking that this is a really great idea. A lot of people have said to us, gee, I think this is such a great idea, but I'm not ready for that yet. And we have been quite concerned about that, because I think what they mean by that is that when I am at the point where I really need assisted living, that's when I'll be ready. That's not the case. We need to have people coming into the community and establishing their relationship and working together before they need that kind of extra support.
So if you are a potential candidate that is currently receiving assisted living, you wouldn't qualify for
placebo
sage. Right.
That's right.
But if
that's
you right. matriculate to that, then you're allowed to stay.
Yes, of course. We have some guidelines about what kind of independent people need to be independent in taking care of their daily activities of daily living, and or there are some cases where in a couple, one of the couple can handle that and the other one needs right. assistance.
And of the number of units, is there a percentage that must be sold prior to breaking ground?
We have been advised that in order to get our construction loan from the bank, we probably need 75% of them sold,
right, that's,
which in our
that's
case
realistic.
Is about 15. So
and now is really a good time for people to consider joining if they'd like to have some input into the final design finishing touches, the kinds of appliances we're going to have, the flooring options, those sorts of things. If they were to join between now and January, they would get a chance to participate in that workshop
right.
and have some input into that.
I feel your pain and your joy. We became permanent New Mexicans more than a year ago and had selected a piece of land before we made the move. And like Placida Sage, we have a pile of dirt that someday there'll be a house on it, not realizing the endless number of decisions that must be made.
Really?
I mean, as something as you think inconsequential as a doorknob, but a decision has to be made.
Right.
So it's my heart goes out to you.
We began this process 2.5 years ago when Bunny Bowen and I sat down together, and Bunny told me about her son Brian Bowen, our architect, living in co-housing and designing co-housing. And Bunny and I were aware that a lot of our friends have left the Placidas community that where they have lived and loved being here for many years because there was no way they could downsize from their large home that was just too much for them to continue living in. And so we started talking about the possibility of doing something like this. And I never imagined, as you said, all of these decisions. Having been a retired hospital chaplain, it never occurred to me that I would be learning about septic systems and how many wells needed to be drilled and all of those things, but I'm learning a lot. Yeah.
Well, maybe you could provide consultation services to myself and my wife.
And also don't forget that it's just you and your wife deciding on doorknobs, but for us, it's a group of people deciding
right.
on doorknobs. One of the wonderful things, though, about our decision-making process is that it works by consensus. So we don't necessarily vote. We say, okay, these are the options, or this is what we're looking at. We have to make a decision about this. We have a discussion about it. And we might have a discussion for a long time. But we want everybody to have a voice, and we want to hear everyone. And then once that's done, somebody makes a proposal, we might tweak it a little bit, and then we look around the table and we say, can everyone live with that? And hopefully people will say yes, but if someone says, it's not quite what I was hoping for, we don't decide until we've either tweaked it or the person has decided that they're not going to get in the way of consensus. So for example, if somebody picked a doorknob that I wasn't crazy about, would I block consensus? No. But if somebody said, I don't think that we should have dogs, we'd have to have a conversation.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's not like a jury where you have to have 100%.
Well, we our goal is for everyone to either to be on board or to agree that they're not going to prevent whatever decision is happening from happening.
Right. Now, it's inevitable that someone is going to pass on. So the estate would probably own the property. How will that be different from a regular home sale, if at all?
The home sale, the main difference, I think, is that most co-housing communities have waiting lists for people who want to get in. So the people on the waiting list would be, if the family, the heirs, want to sell the home, the people on the waiting list would be contacted rather than needing to get in a realtor to say, to promote the property.
But at that point, who sets the price?
The owners or the heirs, the people in the estate.
So it may be a lot higher than now. It could be a little bit lower depending on what's happening.
Typically what's happened is that they have appreciated and in value in the co-housing communities, and that they typically get sold pretty quickly, either to people on the waiting list or the national co-housing organization, which can be reached through cohousing.org, also has people list homes that are available on that.
So even though one would not join this community for investment reasons, as far as a home where you're going to live, it seems like a relatively good investment, because the homes I've lived in, I've never had a waiting list for people who wanted to buy it.
That's true. That's true.
So, we're also planning for the future. So, let's say that a couple is 45, but they want to make sure they have a place at Placida Sage or whatever is appropriate for where they're living. Can I become a member, buy it, and rent it to another authorized resident?
Yes. Yes, we do have one family now who's buying a home with the intention of renting it until they are ready to move into it themselves.
Right. But those renters would be vetted by the community.
That's true.
Absolutely.
And participating, and hopefully full participants in the community as well.
We also have something called an associate member. So people who are kind of friends of Placida Sage, who can't be involved in the decision-making process, but participate in other ways. They might volunteer to help us publicize our programs. They might come and teach. And basically, they're sort of our champions in the community right now.
They might do a radio interview.
They might do a radio interview. They might... We actually have a neighbor who has offered the exercise equipment at her home for us to use.
Wonderful.
Another neighbor who has offered his extensive workshop. So we have all kinds of good neighbors with facilities to share.
Right. Any downside? Someone might say, this sounds pretty good to me, but why may it not be, other than the obvious of I don't want to play with everybody. I want to, stick to myself. I don't want everybody deciding what kind of plants are around.
I think that people have to decide that living in community is important to them, because things are going to be expected of them. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to, buy a house and I'll, if I don't want to talk to my neighbors, I don't have to. So filling out this is co-housing the right thing for you checklist,
right,
is probably a good idea for most people. The reality is that decisions are sometimes slow in coming. So you have to be patient. You have to be willing to come with an open heart and an open mind to any kind of a discussion that the community's having, because it may take a while to come to a decision. And if that drives you crazy, then maybe this style of living isn't the right thing for you. It's a lot different than just, say, buying into a condo community.
Right.
I live in a condo now, and I have lovely neighbors, and I say hello to them in the hallways, but I'm not really involved in their lives. And I think that what attracted me, and what I think is such a positive thing, is that the people in this community like each other a great deal, and they choose to spend time with each other, and you know, right now they're not all living next to each other, but they drive down the road, or they, you know, I'm going to Trader Joe's, what do you need? I'll pick it up for you. We're already living in our virtual community, and soon we'll be living in the actual one.
Sounds wonderful. We're kind of coming to the end of our time here. Anything that we've neglected to mention, other than it's, we already mentioned it's a wonderful thing.
I could just say that of the 10 members that we have now, six are from Placidas, and when we began, we expected it would be primarily people from Placidas, but it has proved to have a great appeal to people across the country, and so now, as we have Andrea from Massachusetts, we have a pair of sisters from the Seattle area, and a woman from Arizona who are our additional members at this point. So we have room for 10 more, and we're looking. And actually, we have somebody coming from North Carolina at the end of this week to visit. So
and I would encourage people to email and or call to talk with Joyce or one of the other members, and come up and see the land that we're going to be living on, meet the people who will be their neighbors and their new friends, and just get a feel for the wonderful community that we're building.
And go to placitassage.org to get all that contact information.
The website has all the contact information. It has for people who don't live in this area. There are many, many, many pictures of what the Placidas area looks like, and what the facilities are here in terms of shopping and all of those kinds of things.
Right.
So there's lots and lots of information, including the questionnaire, is co-housing right for you? You can just click on it and answer those questions and see if it's something that would fit your lifestyle.
Well, although we are building our own house, I'm going to take that checklist just to kind of see.
Good, great.
Learn something about myself.
That would be wonderful.
Well, for Joyce Thompson and Andrea Mason from PlacidasSage.org, this is Matthew Bronson, and has been Conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9 on the FM dial from high atop Placidas, New Mexico. So thank you.
Thank you,
Matthew.